بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 17th of May in the year 2022 Alhamdulillah we moved on to the fifth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu. And I've begun the subsection in which I'm mentioning the severe hardships in the early days. And I mentioned that he entered the boycott together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentioned a very graphic incident showing how much hardships there were at the time. And literally, he was urinating and he heard the crackling. It was some camel leather. He washed it, he picked it up, he toasted it, and he ground it between two stones and he swallowed that with water. And that gave him strength for 3 days. And then I mentioned that this was during the boycott. So this state, as mentioned briefly earlier, did not get much better even after the earlier years of the migration to Al-Madinah. So in Makkah, most people are aware of this. There was extreme hardship in Makkah. But this didn't get much better even after the migration to Al-Madinah. Why? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas himself said, radiyallahu, when we used to fight battles with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only food we had were the leaves of the acacia and lotus trees. In fact, when any of us relieved himself, his droppings resembled those of a goat because it was not at all sticky. This is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 3728, Sahih Muslim, number 2966, Tirmidhi, number 2365, in his Shama'il, number 373, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 2-99, Riyad al-Salihin, number 500, Targhib, volume 5, page 179, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 530 of the New English Translation. So in this flawless report, he's mentioning battles. And the battles were, of course, in Al-Madinah. And look how he's describing it. The only food we had were the leaves of the acacia and lotus trees, meaning extreme hardship still after the migration. And when we went to relieve ourselves, because it was like goat droppings. And this is why there's a famous narration about Ali radiallahu. And he said that we would use stones to dry ourselves with after istinja. But then he explained that you should also use water because our waste was dry, right? Like goat droppings, obviously water wasn't really needed. So he explained that because now you're living a more comfortable life, when you go for the call of nature, water is needed. So not here, again, hardships. It is here that we have the following most informative report on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas himself, radiallahu. He said, during the early years of hardships in Makkah and the persecutions of the Muslims, Rasulullah said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today we are experiencing the easy trials and I am more concerned for you from the trial of prosperity that will inevitably come. Should you live and have to face them, endure them with patience and perseverance, for comfort in this world appears sweet and tempting. SubhanAllah. This is recorded in Abu Ya'la in his Musnad 2-115, Bazad in his Musnad 2-367, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya number 188, Targhib volume 5 page 145, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 292 of the Old English Translation. So Sa'd himself narrates this, radiyallahu. He goes, we were going through hardships in Makkah. And the Prophet said something amazing. He said, this is the easy trial. Now think about that. When I was describing it yesterday and today, were you thinking this was an easy trial? You know, they had nothing to eat. They were literally starving, desperate to eat whatever to keep their back straight. And the Prophet ﷺ said, these are the easy trials. Then he said, I am more concerned for you from the trial of prosperity, because that is more concerning. Then he said, if you live to face them, you must be patient, for comfort in the world appears sweet and tempting. Meaning it's not sweet, it's not tempting, it's appearing. Meaning this is a more severe trial. Thus, Hafiz ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullah alayh, in his Ikhtiyar al-Ula, the Heavenly Dispute, page 142 of the English translation, he elucidated, the trial of prosperity and ease is more difficult to bear than that of adversity. Subhanallah. The trial of prosperity and ease is more difficult to bear than that of adversity. So, the severe hardship that they were going through, that was easy, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. When you go through ease, that's the most severe hardship. As Hafiz ibn Qudama in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, page 53 of the English translation, he beautifully put it. A hungry man is better able to endure his hunger when food is not available than when delicious food is presented to him. Beautiful. So Hafiz ibn Qudama said, you got a hungry man. If food is not available, that's easier for him to bear than if you put a spread in front of him. But what was he really saying? What he was really saying was, hardships are easy because you got no choice. There's no food. But when you've got the option, then it becomes difficult. Thus, it is easy for one to hold fast to his iman during hardships and tests, but difficult to abide by his iman during affluence and luxury. SubhanAllah. Had not our beloved messenger very famously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the little and sufficient is better than the abundant and the alluring. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So in this flawless report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what you have, the little and which is sufficient for you, is better than what is abundant and tempts you. He gave it a reason. Abundance tempts you. When you're not tempted, there's nothing to worry about. I don't have to worry about it. I haven't got it. Consider his noble cousin, Sayyid al-Muslimin, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf's blessed words. What did he say? Abtulina ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid-darra'i fasabarna. We were tested along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by adversity, so we were patient. ثُمَّ بَتُلِينَ بَعْدُهُ بِالسَّرَّائِ فَلَمْ نَصْبِرْ. However, then we were tested after him with ease and prosperity, and we were not patient. This is in Tirmidhi, number 2464. Hassan ibn al-Mubarak in his Zuhud, number 519. Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, number 203. Ibn Qudama in his Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, page 49 to 50 of the New English Translation. Hafiz ibn Rajab in his Ikhtiyar al-Ula, the Heavenly Dispute, page 142 of the English Translation. So what did the other great Sayyid of Banu Zuhra say? Because we were tested with Rasulullah, with hardship, because we were patient. Then we were tested with prosperity. We were not patient. So what was he echoing? Exactly what Rasulullah feared. He goes, ease comes, now you're being tested and you don't even know you're being tested. How many passed that test? Indeed, those who take little or what is just sufficient from this worthless world are the intelligent ones. Now what's interesting, no matter how much you acquire, isn't it still dunya? Does Allah Ta'ala love dunya? So how can you say you've acquired a lot? If somebody, you know, let's put it bluntly, think of something that's worthless to you. And somebody goes, I've got tons of that. You know, you say, I've just told you it's worthless. He goes, no, I've got tons of it. I don't care if you've got the whole world full of it. It's worthless to me. In fact, why have you got more of it? That is how you look at the world. But we don't. We think the more of it is better for us. Because you don't realize there's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Muhammad Yunus Palampuri, in his Scattered Pearls, volume 3, page 320 of the English translation, he said, a saint, rahmatullah alayh, once saw the world. In his dream, in the form of a virgin. He thereupon asked her, having muddied millions of people, how come you're still a virgin? She replied, those who muddied me, they were not real men. And the ones who were real men did not muddy me. So how is that related to this? So what was he referring to when he asked the world, how you muddied millions of people and you're still a virgin? How is that possible? He's referring to a hadith. The hadith is in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, and the world came in a very beautiful image, like a prostitute, decorated for sin, and came to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he lowered his eyes, and the companions lowered his eyes, but then he looked at the woman, and he asked that woman, are you married? So the prostitute said, yes. He goes, who are you married to? He goes, everybody. And he goes, what do you do with your husband? He goes, I kill him. Then I move on to the next one. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, then wretched be the one who falls in love with you. Meaning you don't really love them, you're deceiving them. Woman left, the sahaba asked, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, that was the world that you're so in love with. In other words, he makes you false promises. You're special. Like the prostitute, when you pay her, you're special. She's not bothered about you. So go back to this report. The same knew, and he asked the world, maybe through Kashaf, you've muddied millions of people, meaning you're making false promises. How come you're still a virgin? If you've muddied, you should lose your virginity straight away. Look what she said, the world. Subhanallah. He goes, those who muddied me, they're not even men. They're stupid. They're impotent. And the ones who were real men, they don't marry me. So I'm a virgin. Subhanallah. Namely, the foolish ones who marry the world are likened to the impotent, whilst the real men wanting nothing to do with her. Subhanallah. So let me ask you a question. How many men are impotent? And people start going biologically, oh no, I've got kids. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, spiritually. And be honest. What a huge percentage are impotent. They could have all the wealth in the world. Doesn't mean nothing. You fell for the world. How beautiful were the words of Sheikh Shibli when he said, look at this, and I've left it in Arabic. You can see the beauty. Ad-dunya khayal. Wa talabuha wabal. Wa tarquha jamal. Wal i'radu anha kamal. وَالْمَعْرِفَةُ بِاللَّهِ التَّصَالِ. What does that mean? The world is an imagination. Seeking it is misery. Leaving it is beauty. Turning your back from it is perfection. And recognizing Allah is a connection. SubhanAllah. This is in Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 66-63, Bayhaqi in his Zuhd al-Kabir. Now what's interesting, some of the words are actually universal. Khayal means thought in our language. Ad-dunya khayal, he said that. The dunya is an imagination. Why are you seeking something that's not even there? It's an illusion. وَتَلَبُهَا wabal. Seeking a talib, talibul ilm yusbi, not talibul dunya. The Prophet said in Darimi, in his Sunan Sahih Hadith, two people can never be satisfied. Talibul dunya wa talibul ilm. In other words, one is ill, he'll never be satisfied. He's going to want more, the dunya, he doesn't realize it's not going to satisfy him. And the other is ilm. He's got knowledge, he wants to learn because he's got the correct medicine. And then what did Isa alayhi salatu wasalam say? In Al-Bidayah, he goes, the one who seeks the world is like a thirsty person and he drinks from the seawater. So what happens to him? Does he quench his thirst? No. And he's deluded. He goes, I can see the entire sea. I've got enough. It's got salt in it. So you haven't got the understanding. وَتَرْقُهَا jamal, leaving it is beauty. Makes you beautiful when you turn your back to the world. Perfection. And the most important thing, وَالْمَعْرِفَةُ بِاللَّهِ التَّصَالِ. The recognition, ma'rifah, the illumination that you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, that is connected you to what? To power, to true understanding. Subhanallah, words that deserve to be etched in gold. Let's go directly to the Prophet. What did the Prophet say? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Tabarani, Targhib, volume 5, page 145, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 292 to 3 of the Old English translation, Sayyidina Auf ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up and he said to his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you fear poverty, or you have been involved in worldly suffering, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soon bestow upon you the conquest of Persia and Rome, and you will be rolling in worldly luxuries. Thus, if you happen to be misguided, then know it well. It will be nothing other than this world which will be responsible for this. So, first of all, what a prophecy. What part of the world did the Prophet have? Part of the Arabian Peninsula. Was he promised to the Sahaba? The Roman and Persian empires. Does that sound like a false prophet? It's like somebody in the Amazon jungle saying, I promise you America and Russia. That's how strange it must have sounded to the Sahaba. What did he say to them? You fear poverty. Natural instinct. You've been involved in worldly suffering. But you're going to be given the entire world. You'll be rolling, he said, rolling in luxury. Then what did he say? If you happen to be misguided, it will be nothing other than this world that will be responsible. That's the disaster. Because the world opens up, people don't see the danger. And what happens? Misguidance. They lose their iman. And what ultimately causes it is dunya. In the Sahih, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amongst the things I fear for you is the splendor and wealth of the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up for you. This is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Targhib, volume 5, page 144, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 254 of the New English Translation. So who is Rasulullah talking to? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the greatest of people after the prophets. And what did he fear for them? Dunya. And we don't even consider it. You know, imagine if somebody goes, the Sahaba were scared of something. So what's that then? Well, whatever it is, brother, you think you're going to be scared of it? Oh, brother, I love the Sahaba. Whatever they're scared of, I want to be 10 times more fearful. Dunya. Next minute, the guy goes, hey, well, there you go, brother. You say you love them. Why are you following them? As our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes from the world over and above what is sufficient for him has foolishly taken his death whilst he does not even know. This is in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 363, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimishq 55-191. So let's look at this. If you take 1 ounce more than what's sufficient for you, the Prophet said, you're killing yourself. So let me ask you a question. How many Muslims are killing themselves? And the guy doesn't get it. He goes, well, I don't want to spell ya, brother. How much do you need to live? And nobody likes answering that question. I know it's that you ask a person, you just work it out yourself. You need to pay your bills. You need to have something to eat and drink. How much? You have 1 penny above that. The Prophet goes, you're killing yourself. You're killing yourself. So let me ask you a question. Are we killing ourselves? So how are you killing yourself? I'm still healthy. You're spiritually killing yourself. The Prophet said, and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. How beautifully and simply did our beloved Messenger sum up the entire matter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, the person who hankers after this world is then in reality most foolishly throwing himself into hell. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10,124. I want a piece of the pie. Have it. Take it. The Prophet goes, you want hell? Take it. Somebody goes, would you like a piece of hell? Real estate. What are you talking about, brother? You hanker after the world. The Prophet goes, you're throwing yourself into the world, into the hell. Where's the intelligence in that? Those let us strive to make do with little of this transitory world and have mercy upon ourselves. Why? Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu wajh, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man radiya minallahi bil yaseeri minal rizqi, radiyallahu anhu bil qaleeli minal amal. Whoever is pleased with small provision from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with just a few of his good deeds. Subhanallah. This is in Bayhaqi in Shu'ub al-Iman Mishkat in the chapter on the excellence of the poor and the Holy Prophet. So you just put it this way. Which one of us would not want Allah ta'ala just to take a few of our good deeds and take us to paradise? Which Muslim would say, I don't want that, unless he's mentally ill? Everybody would say that. I just want a few of my good deeds. Allah ta'ala just accepts them by his grace, takes me to paradise. You can do it. How do you do it? The Prophet's told you. Whoever is content with little rizq in this world. Now that's a condition. Some people aren't content. They've got little rizq, they're not content. They don't get this. You have to have that understanding. Alhamdulillah. I'm very happy with this. I don't need anything else. Allah Ta'ala is fulfilling all my needs. You're content. Then Rasulullah gave you glad tidings. Few good deeds, go to paradise. And look at the beautiful way the Prophet said it. Radiallahu anhu. He actually used that phrase. Whoever is pleased with small provision from Allah, Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. The same title for the Sahaba. Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with just bil qaleeli min al amal. So let me pose this question. If you take more from the world, what does that mean? It means Allah Ta'ala is going to want more. So why are you just making life difficult for yourself? That's the question to pose. I want Allah Ta'ala just to few good deeds, but there you go straight in. Fantastic. Or do you want an account? Right? I want deeds. Show me your deeds because you took. Subhanallah. How pertinent were the words of our beloved messenger as related by Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhuma. There is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. This is in Kanzul Umal number 6173. There is no worship better than being disinclined from this world. Now why? Now think about that. That's the answer. Somebody goes, yeah, but what if I do loads of salat? I do a lot of sadaqah. You miss the ball, brother. The reason you're doing loads is because you've took a lot from the world. If you don't take a lot from the world, you don't need to kill yourself. There is no worship better than what? Than being disinclined from the world. The Prophet is giving you the answer. Nobody can beat that person. Why? Because he's got understanding. He knows how to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we think, no, the more we do, the better it is. And what's amazing is, the ones who don't take anything from the world and increase in their worship, you can't beat them. And who were those? The Sahab. But Allah Ta'ala, that's another level. At least get the first bit in. Then a few paltry deeds, Allah Ta'ala will accept it. He's promised that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to finish, how much should we take of this world and what is the minimum level of zuhd? In Kanzul Umal, number 8589, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said that Rasulullah once said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, that portion of this world which benefits your hereafter is not harmful. But that portion of the world is harmful, which benefits only your life in this world. This is how the believer looks at things. Something's coming to him from the dunya. He goes, right, does this benefit my akhirat? No, stuff it. That's how he looks at it. If he hasn't got understanding, he takes it. He's not sinful. But has he done an intelligent thing? No, because now he's made life difficult for himself. So here the Prophet put it very simply. Anything which benefits your akhirat, that is not really dunya. You're supposed to be doing that now, collecting things for the akhirat. But anything from the world which only benefits your dunya is harmful. That's how we look at it. That's the level the Prophet was telling you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what's interesting, who was he addressing? Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr was the ascetic par excellence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you want to see the zuhud of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam, then look at Abu Dharr. This is in Tirmidhi Sahih Hadith. Did he act upon this command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In fact, he got to a level where he was rebuking with the Sahaba. This is what you're doing. Once he was going past Abu Darda, Abu Darda was just building a wall with some mud. And Abu Dharr is walking past. He goes, alas, it would have been better for me for you to be covered in excrement. So he turns around and he goes, what am I doing wrong? Just rebuked him. He goes, what are you doing? What's this for? And that's just the Sahaba just repairing a wall. What would he say to me and you? Right? Because why? Because you're ill. The dunya to you is the be and end of all. And yet, you're only harming yourself. You're killing yourself for now. And what's interesting is there's a phrase. Why are you killing yourself? And yet, there's actual literal meaning to this. You know, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically now clarifying upon this very important aspect of our deen, and that is with regards to the easy trial. The easy trial which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the hardship they were suffering. The hard trial was the opening up of the world. And the Prophet warned the Sahaba about this. And then I mentioned what that meant. How do we look at these reports? And you realize we're our own worst enemies. We're making ourselves even more ill. And what's amazing, you don't need it. And what's shocking is sometimes non-Muslims talk like this. You know, that's what I find fascinating. Because why haven't you got this? I don't need it, brother. And you think, this guy's not even a Muslim. Why haven't you got the latest phone? Don't need it, brother. Why haven't you got the next? What do I need that for? Why is he doing it? He's not doing it for please Allah. So he's just thinking, I just want to live a simple life. This was all this headache. And we've got understanding and we're doing what he's doing without understanding. So note, you know, we should reflect. And this is the greatest worship. And who is highlighting this? The Sayyids of the Banu Zuhra. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas and Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم